far this year, we've talked a lot about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I believe that I've cracked, first of all, how many are familiar with this book? The Bible Code. One person, two, three, four. Wow, okay. Written by Michael Drosnin, he might be today a Christian, but anyway. I think I've cracked the Bible Code. What this is about is every letter in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, they have run it through a computer system, and it tells you things that have happened and whatnot. And I'm not big into, I'm not really looking to see what, I know where my future is, so I don't need to know what's going to happen on the 22nd of September. Actually, I think that's a date that's up in the news now. Doomsday, or, I mean, it's, you know, different ones will say whatever. I don't know anything about that. But I believe that pertaining to one certain thing, I think I've cracked the Bible Code. And I believe that I've cracked the Bible Code regarding did Satan tempt Eve with an apple? Did he? That's what everybody believes. But the Bible doesn't say that. But I believe I've cracked it. Hold on to your seats. It's no wonder you think it was a pomegranate. I like pomegranates. You might be right. I believe that it's something else, but that's just my belief. This, you know, I'm going to attempt to show you what I really believe it to be. And I'm going to show you in just a minute. I don't believe it's any wonder that Satan used a piece of fruit or a fruit tree to tempt her. But was it really an apple? I think not. I believe was it an apple? Here's what I believe it is. That's grapes. I believe it was grapes. Pastor, why do you believe that it was grapes? Well, remember, Satan is he's a thief. He's a counterfeiter. He's a deceiver. And I believe that he used the grapevine full of luscious grapes. How many have read Numbers chapter 13 where they sent out the spies? And it's interesting. They talked about pomegranates, how big they were. But it also said they came back with a big cluster of grapes hung on a pole between the shoulders of two men. Okay, so that's my little interjection right there. But I believe it's grapes for another reason as well. I believe he used the grapevine full of those luscious grapes to entice and deceive Eve. And I believe he uses the grapevine today still to deceive people in the body of Christ. Where is he going? How many remember is an old rock group called CCR? Creedence Clearwater Revival. And they had a song called "I Heard It Through the Grapevine." The grapevine, I believe, today reaches and interweaves and entangles people all through the body of Christ today. I'm talking about the grapevine of gossip. Okay, all the laughs went away. I'm in teaching mode today. We'll leave the grapes right there for you to see. Here's my question to you. Is God okay with gossip? Well, we could just pack up and go home. No, we need to know what God does think of gossip. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, I have printed out the scriptures. you can still put them up there. And I've used multiple translations today, from King James to New King James to Amplified to Message to New International Version. And then there's one I kind of like in some places. It's called the Easy to Understand Version. And so we'll use that occasionally. Is that okay? Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace unto the hearers. How much corrupt communication? No, none. The very next verse is one that should catch your attention, because it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The implication is that verse 29, when corrupt communication comes out of a believer's mouth, it causes the Holy Spirit to be grieved. Gossip is a sin that grieves the Holy Spirit. And it's offensive to the Spirit of God. And it grieves him. Gossip is so destructive and offensive that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, Paul forbids it. He says, for I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be. You have to understand, this was written to the Corinthian church. They were a messed up bunch of people. They had been instructed, and they still went back into sin. They were re-instructed, they still went back into sin. He was continuously correcting them. And so here he says, I'm afraid that when I come, you're not going to be the way I want you to be. I just don't believe you're going to. Paul had a problem believing that they were going to be a changed bunch of people. He says, and you might not find me as you want me to be. Uh-oh. I fear that there might be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. Let's be sure we understand what God describes gossip as. Let's be sure that we understand what God's, where he's coming from. Here it describes a person who reveals personal or sensational facts, rumors, or reports of an intimate nature that are none of his business. My new favorite magazine. No. I'm not going to open up and read all the. So this isn't the truth then, is it? We all recognize this pretty quickly, don't we? I thank God my wife bought this for me and I didn't have to go to the checkout and buy it. She said she did it for me. I said, thank you for taking one for me. She says, I felt so, I don't remember what the adjective was, dirty or whatever. Gossip would include talking about other people's business and things that do not concern you. Repeating what someone else said, even though you don't even know if it's true or not. I want to preface the rest of this message by saying, I love you all, and that's why I'm bringing this message. Because you need to understand God's heart on this matter. We're going to see, we're going to look at the word that God reveals about it. It's not my opinion. I agree with God. Gossip would include talking to others as if you were an authority about matters that are other people's business, when in reality, you don't even know what you're talking about. James chapter 3, verse 8. Says, gossip is like a deadly poison That whole chapter 3 talks about our tongue and how, you know, we bless God with it. We just had wonderful worship and we bless God and we praise him and we thank him. But then he says, with man, you curse man. And he goes on to say, that shouldn't be that way. That's instruction, that it shouldn't be that way. Bible says, no man can tame the tongue, verse 8. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. As I was preparing this, I just got on Google and I typed in poisonous snakes. And I saw some hideous looking creatures. And then there was videos and they were telling, you know, this one here, you know, there's a bunch of them that are the most deadliest. I don't know how that can be, but they're all deadly, and they say how much milligrams of this poison, and there's one that can even spit it 10 feet, and paralyze its prey. Yeah, it's one in the cobra bunch. Doesn't even have to get you and bite you. Can send it. It's deadly poison. No man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. It spews out poison throughout the church. That's what gossip does. Deadly poison. None of you would get in a pit with deadly snakes. None of you would get deadly snakes for pets for your kids. Why? Because it's deadly. Well, in God's kingdom, gossip is deadly poison. Gossip is usually based on hearsay. It's usually inaccurate. It creates suspicions. And it divides people. It's exactly what Satan wants. It's exactly what Satan wants. So hence the grapevine. The Greek word for gossip is whisper. Whisper. We generally don't say, Pastor, can I have the microphone so I can just share all the gossip that I've been shared with this week? That's never happened. That never will happen. Unless there's somebody here today that wants to prove me wrong. But it's a whisper because you do it in secret. And you may be whispering, and then when the one you're talking about comes into the room, oh, change the subject. Hey, how is work, Steve? Work's great, right? You're unemployed. What are you talking about? You know, he's not. I was just using that as. You know, you change the subject, and you get all confused. Why? Because you got caught whispering. This is what God says. It would be good. Stop and think about this. It would be good when you're about to tell somebody that you've heard something to first ask yourself, would I say this publicly? Would I say it if Jesus was standing with me? If I was at his home, if he came to my home visibly, would I start talking gossip? Would I talk about it in front of the person? I had somebody come to me, this was years ago, I was pastor here at this church, wanted a meeting with me, get to the meeting, my wife is with me, wanted to talk about somebody else in the church. I pulled out my cell phone, I said, well, let's call them and get them on the phone. They about came across the table to stop me. Why? You want to talk about this person? You want to find out what I know about this person and the situation? It's none of your business. Came to the pastor. That doesn't usually happen. That was a rarity. This guy really had, he was, yeah. If your answer is no, I wouldn't say this in front of the person. I wouldn't say it in public. I wouldn't say it, you know, in front of my boss if you're at work. Then you should come to the conclusion you probably shouldn't say it in private either. Your boss is your boss. He's above you, or she is above you. You might have a great idea, but That doesn't mean you spew all through the company that they don't know what they're talking about. They're the boss. They're the owner of the company. They got there and you didn't. So they must know something about getting somewhere, right? Another word that I find in the Bible for gossiper is talebearer. Talebearer. Just think about it. Bearing tales. It's not true. In most cases, there's an element of truth in every one of these things in here. I read some, you know, oh, so-and-so is splitting up with so-and-so because of this and that. There's an element of truth, but it's none of our business. I hope none of you buy this. If you do, I've got it for sale out in the after the church. No, it's going in the trash. But in Proverbs 11:13, it says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. He who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Usually a talebearer doesn't have all the facts, and so he needlessly stirs up a lot of trouble as people begin to form opinions and take sides regarding situations they don't know about. But they'll begin to, and the more times they hear it, and the more people that embrace it, it becomes fact to them. It becomes real to them. And so they'll act on it in their mind. You see, Satan is the author of this deadly poison. Satan's the author of it. That's why when he went to, just turn to Genesis. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He had said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Or, God never said that. But he's the imposter. He's the counterfeiter. He's the one trying to get. And we know what happened. She succumbed to it. And the woman said, well, we might eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And you see, that's a lie right there. What part of that's the lie? Eve, God never said, don't touch it. He said, don't eat it. She said, when she responds back to the snake, she says, we can't eat it or touch it. That's an in-truth. Do you know there are in-truths, lies recorded in the Bible? Be careful when you say, I believe everything in the Bible. I don't believe and act on what Job's wife said. She said, curse God and die. There's a lot of lies in the Bible. That's why you have to properly discern who's doing the talking. Who are they talking to? Right here, we see the first recorded one. Satan's involved in it. And then Eve gets all messed up and she responds. She just responded to wrong information. Satan goes on to say, you know, God's holding out on you. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. He's holding out on you. This thing's much better. Even though they were perfect. Couldn't get any better. That little thought of doubt. Well, when you gossip, you put doubt about the one you're talking about in people's minds. That's poison. That's deadly poison. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing God? Because this comes out of his word. Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer reveals secrets. Usually a talebearer doesn't have all the facts. They stir up a lot of people to form opinions. People mistakenly assume that if the information they're telling is accurate, they don't think it's gossip. That's not true. It could be 100% fact. But if you're talking about somebody else's private affairs, it's none of your business. You shouldn't be doing it. We're going to see scripture after scripture where God says, don't do that. It's still none of your business if you're talking about somebody else, even if it is true. But most of the time, we know it's not 100% true. I've been around the ministry long enough to know that by the time things get back to me, sometimes it's 6-8 months later, and I find out what was being said about this, you know, they get about 40% of the facts. There's facts there. Undeniable. Facts are there. But there's a lot of lies. There's a lot of untruth there. And that's poison to you and to me as born-again Christians. Put up Proverbs 18:8, if you would, in the King James. Do we have King James? Good old King Jimmy. I'll read it here. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Look what God says about gossip. It's wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. I believe Solomon wrote this particular one. Why did he refer to the long-term effects of gossip as wounds? Think about this. Consider this. Gossip permanently blemishes our view of the person being discussed. Permanently. From that day forward, when you come in contact with that person, that video is going to be replayed in your mind about what was said, even though it may not be true. Even if it is true. I mean, stop and think for 1 second. Why are we even here today? Why do we come to church? When we got born again, our spirit man became perfect, but we got a long way to go on the rest of us, don't we? Our bodies and our soulish realm. Minds, our will. We don't want to line it up with what God says. Our emotions, our emotions are a wreck most of the time. Bouncing off all the information that comes to us. Well, here he says that the effects of gossip are as wounds. Once that picture gets into our minds, it's hard to erase it. It's hard to erase it. I can think back 20, 30 years on things that were told me about people. I can recall those things. I wished I'd have never heard them. Because it seems like the bad stuff doesn't ever leave our mind, does it? It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit to get it out of our minds. And so many people, I really believe that there is as much, maybe even more, mental anguish in people today than there is physical problems. I think that's the cause of a lot of the physical problems. Medical science will tell you that. And a lot of it is by what people spoke to somebody. What your sixth grade teacher told you. Told you were stupid, never going to amount to anything. Not going to go anywhere. Your parents might have said that. I mean, on and on and on. Words that were spoken. This is all about words. Gossip is words. What does Proverbs 18 and 21 say? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. You're either speaking good words. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said, how is it you? He was talking to the Pharisees. How is it you try to speak something good when you're evil? You're of your father, the devil. You can't speak good things. Bad trees don't produce good fruit. But do you know it's possible for born-again, spirit-filled believers to still speak things that are of devilish? Why? Because our tongue didn't get made perfect when we got saved. And we yield to something and we just react. We react. And so then we repeat it. Every time we see that person about whom we've heard the gossip, or that rumor will be resurrected in our minds, it becomes a wound. It becomes a wound in our minds. It harms us. It's a stain in our memory. Proverbs 16:28. Troublemakers are always causing problems. I'm not sure which version this is. Their gossip breaks up the closest of friends. Is there any good in that? Breaks up the closest of friends. If they come to see me, Psalm 41:6, they don't say what they're actually thinking. I'm going to put these up on our website. So if anybody wants to go over and, you know, I know this isn't a real Yahoo popular message, but I tell you what, if we can't get past the fruit of the Spirit. Back in early part of the year, I gave everybody cards. And I said, what would you like me to preach about? And I had a fair amount say the gifts of the Spirit. We can't get to the gifts until we nail the fruit. Gifts don't work until the fruit's working. Faith works by love. No point in talking about the gift of faith or doing miracles if we can't get the love walk right. Can you see what I'm saying? They came to gather a little gossip, and then they go and spread their rumors. Psalm 41:6. Proverbs 18:8, people love to hear gossip. That's what the Bible says. It's like tasty food on its way to the stomach. This is tasty food. Why do they sell millions of these things? You know how much this crappy thing cost? $5. Millions upon millions upon millions of people buy this crap. $5 every week. If they had started investing their $5 in the stock market when they were old enough to do so, they'd be millionaires today, and they're still reading this crap. I don't even want to touch on our Christians reading it. There probably are some. Carnal Christians. They haven't matured. They haven't grown up. Ephesians says we need to grow up. Proverbs 26:20. Without wood, a fire goes out. That's a hard one. This must be the easy to understand translation. Without gossip, arguments stop. Ecclesiastes 10:20. Don't say bad things about the king or the pastor or the priest. Don't even think bad things about them. Don't say bad things about rich people. Even if you are alone in your home, all by yourself. Because a little bird might fly. This is the Bible. Can you pull that up? A little bird might fly and tell everything that you said. What is God trying to instruct us? Nothing is secret. It's all laid bare before him. There's a video recorder running in heaven. Romans 1:29, they're filled with every kind of sin, evil, greed, and hatred. They're full of jealousy, murder, fighting, lying, and thinking the worst about each other. They gossip. 2 Corinthians 12:20, this is the one I was referring to earlier. Paul says, I do this because I'm afraid that when I come to you, actually this was further on in the 13th chapter. Let's just turn to that because what he said in chapter 12, remember, he didn't write, this is a letter. He didn't change subjects in the chapters. You know, the translators did the best they could. But don't just stop when the chapter stops. 2 Corinthians 12:20. For I fear when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish. Lest there be contentions, and we read that, jealousies, outbursts, wrath, backbitings, whisperings, that's the gossip, conceits. 2 Corinthians 12:20. Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many of you who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanliness. Talks about all sorts of uncleanliness, fornication, lewdness, all these different things. Chapter 13 starts out, this will be the third time I'm coming to you by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every word shall be established. Drop down to verse 5. Examine yourselves. That's what we do for ourselves. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Verse 10. Therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority which God has given me for the edification and not for the destruction. So he's saying here, when I come and I find you're still in this mess, I'm going to be sharper than I was before, but I do it because I love you. I'm not trying to destroy you. I'm trying to get you to see you're on a destructive path. And it's not just talking about gossip, although that's included. It talks about all sorts of sin. The Corinthians were messed up people, but they were still born again creatures, weren't they? They're still going to heaven. But Paul had to remind them and go over it and over it and over it. 1 Timothy 5, Paul's writing to Timothy. He's talking about qualifications of people in the ministry. He talks about younger widows begin to waste their time going from house to house. They also begin to gossip and try to run other people's lives. Have you ever known anybody like that? Somebody else just wants to run your life. They say things they should not say. 1 Timothy 1, the whole point of what we're urging is simply love. Love uncontaminated by self-interest and counterfeit faith. See, Satan's the counterfeiter. He came and he got Eve to believe the counterfeit. And I believe that grapevine still permeates through the church today. And he's still using it to get into people's lives. It says those who fail to keep this point, what point? Of unconditional love for one another. This point, they soon wander off into cul-de-sacs of gossip. A cul-de-sac is where the road, it ends. It doesn't keep going. And it's an area that you can just go round and round that thing if you want. And people just gather in the cul-de-sacs of gossip. Again, this is the Bible. Isaiah 58, if you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about other people's sins. Proverbs 29:12, when a leader listens to malicious gossip, all the workers get infected with evil. Leviticus 19, don't spread gossip and rumors. Amplified says that one says, you shall not go around as a gossip among your people. Don't spread gossip and rumors. There's many more. I'm not going to take the time. Another point I want to bring out is when you gossip, you're judging. You're judging. Matthew 7, Jesus said this. How many believe the red letters? You got to believe the red letters. Don't judge others, and God will not judge you. If you judge others, you'll be judged the same way you judge them. God will treat you the same way you treat others. We all know this. Why do you notice that small piece of dust that's in your friend's eye when you don't notice the big telephone pole in your eye? Take that piece out of your own eye. Look at yourself first. Jesus said, the person that does that and judges says, you are a hypocrite. I know Jesus is love. God is love. But he don't like sin. The world, the Bible says, will know that we're Jesus' disciples. By what? By what? By our love for each other. And yet, this is rampant all across the planet. Why? Because Satan is still here. And people just, it's so subtle. Well, if it's true, it can't be gossip. Sorry, if it's none of your business, it's none of your business. Keep out of it. You want to help? Get on your knees and pray for him. Now that's chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 1. Drop down to verse 24. You all know this. Building your house on the rock. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. So did verse 1 come before verse 24? Yes, it did. If you're doing that, he says, you're a fool. Jesus said, you're a fool. If I go around telling people they're a fool, they're gone. Don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger. But this is to help you. This is because I do care. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and great was its fall. James 4:11, do not speak evil of one another, brethren, sisterin. Don't speak evil of one another. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. not talking about the Mosaic law. He's talking about the royal law of love. James 2, verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Starts by saying you love the Lord your God. Then you love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22, this is the first and greatest commandment. Second's like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I'm quite sure that if we look at 1 Corinthians 13, it says love doesn't keep a record of somebody's wrong. Some people have books and just want to keep records of everything anybody else has ever done wrong. Maybe not literally, but in their mind. They'll remember what you did. They'll remember what you did. They'll remember what you did. Yeah, Steve, I'm sorry. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we, that's you and me, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. See, this is where it's getting the rubber's meeting the road here now, and the consequence of our loose living on this planet as a born-again, Spirit-filled believer. It's going to come back around. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. I love this one. Concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. We know that, right? And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. All Bible. And this is just a touch of the scriptures that God, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. But if you're speaking negative things, who's in the discipleship class talking about the authority of the believer? And how much of that is talking about what you say? Almost 100% of it. It's about what you say. It makes a difference. It's death and life are in the power of the tongue. Galatians 6, last scripture I think I'm going to share here. Do not be deceived, verse 7. God is not mocked. He'll not allow himself to be ridiculed nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. You can tell that's the Amplified. For whatever a man sows, this and this only is what he will reap. For the one who sows to his flesh, his sinful capacity, his worldliness, his disgraceful impulses, will reap from the flesh. This is written to Christians. Will reap from the flesh ruin and destruction. Friend, I'm trying to keep you from being destroyed. You wonder why your healing's not coming? Do a checkup. You wonder why the finances aren't where they should be? Do a checkup. You wonder why relationships aren't the way they should be? Do a checkup. All right. Lastly, how does gossip affect us? Deuteronomy 30:19. God set before us life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, you choose. So our words make us or break us. Proverbs 18:21, already quoted that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Matthew 12, already looked at that one. By our words. No, we didn't. By our words we'll be judged, Jesus said. By our words. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 6:31. Jesus was talking about not worrying and not being threatened and in fear and whatnot. And in verse 31, in the King James Version, it says, take no thought saying. When you say it, you take the thought. It becomes yours, you own it. Now you got to do something about it. If it was a wrong thing, you got to repent of it. Not bringing a heavy message to where you can't do something. Repent. I'm going to encourage all of us to get before the Lord and ask, is there something that I have been guilty of in the way of gossip? Help me to control my tongue. This is scripture. We're going to look at that in a minute. James 3:8, gossip's a deadly poison. Here's something. The more you participate in gossip, the more you desensitize yourself. Can't you see that's what's going on in America today? That's why we've gotten to the condition we are. How many remember Three's Company? Used to be, you know, Jack was just pretending and it was funny and we laughed about being a homosexual. There's nothing funny about being a homosexual. We're not against homosexuals. We love them. But God hates the condition they're in. He wants to change. He wants them to change. But you desensitize yourself. The more, and they do it in the name of comedy. I used to, that show Roseanne, I couldn't watch that thing. It was so full of sarcasm and coming against parents. And it's teaching the children to disrespect their parents. I hated it. But in the name of comedy, oh, it was so popular. And then the husband and the wife, you know, they were back and forth at each other, speaking things into their lives. They didn't really want those things to come true. Always about, oh, I'll just find somebody cuter. I'll find somebody better than you. It was full of that. I wouldn't allow my kids to watch it. You remember that? I'd turn that crap off. Not in my house. As long as my house, I make the rules. But we see it too much. We hear it too much. Just listen to the little kids and you can hear what they're saying. Where are they getting it? They're not born. This little one here is innocent. It's what they're going to hear and what they're going to see that creates mindsets that sets their course of their life. Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Satan spoke something that was not true, but Eve still responded to it. The first lie recorded shows us one of Satan's devices, the spoken word. John 10 and 10, 1 Peter 5, 8, what does the thief come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. He's not bothering me. I guess he's gone. This bothers me. Kids crying don't bother me. Gossip opens the door for Satan to come in. You learn that in discipleship's class. You could be talking about somebody in Cincinnati all day long, bad stuff. It's not going to affect them. It's going to affect you. It's going to open up the door for Satan to come in because we have no business speaking. Our words are life or our words are producing something. What are your words producing? Gossip is giving your authority. See, that's what happened in the garden. Satan had no authority of his own. He had to steal it, and he grabbed it from Adam and Eve. Now he became the god of this world, 1 Corinthians 4 and 4. That's how he got it. But now he had the authority. But Jesus came. How many know Jesus came? He got it back for you and for me. Gossip is giving your authority to Satan. He'll use it against you. He'll use it against you. And he'll laugh hideously behind your back. Adam and Eve lost their authority. It cost them dearly. Romans 6 says we're not to present our bodily members. And I wrote in their tongue, because our tongue is part of our body, isn't it? So what are we to do? In closing, actually, I'm going to take 2 minutes. Since Connie was such a sweetheart. No, I'm not going to knit a sweater in front of you. Steve, would you help me? I want you to walk up to the back corner there. There you go. Keep walking. Go. We ain't got all day. All right, walk over to the other side there. All right. Hand that to the young lady in the back row. Could you hold on to that? All right, Steve, quickly, come help me. You're slow, Steve. You're slow. All right. I want you to go over and give this to Caleb. Go. Caleb's right there, right? Third row back. He'll reach his hand out. Hold on. All right. Now go back to Steve Chase in the back there. Hurry up. Come on, you're too slow. Here, grab a hold of this. Ah, ha, ha, this is funny. Okay, All right. Somebody grab it. Bring it up to Matt. Matt, throw it over to Steve Murphy. Don't take out the lights. Those are expensive. Everybody in receiving mode. Casey doesn't make it. That's close. That's close. All right, now you hold on to it and throw it over to Drew. Oh, Drew's already got it. Throw it to Ricky. All right. Ricky, hold on to it. Throw it up to Helen. Helen, raise your hand. There's Helen. Hold on to it. Throw it over to Suzanne. Way over on the side. Oh, come on. You got a good arm. It hurts. We'll pray for it. That's right. Thank you. All right. Suzanne's going to hold on to Suzanne. That's Suzanne. She's going to hold on to it, throw it back to Ken. I know Ken can throw it. Just don't put a hole through the wall. All right. Bop it back over here towards my folks. All right. Gossip is like a matrix, or it's like a web. You figure over a person's lifetime that's involved in that sort of thing, there's stuff going every direction. And we're talking about Christians. I expect the world to do this kind of stuff. And God does too. He says they're sinners. That's why they sin. But in the church, this kind of stuff shouldn't be here. We should get rid of this. Where did that thing end up? Just keep it going. Just keep it going until it's done. There you go. Oh. And Satan's behind this. Satan loves to see. Now, some of you are getting tangled right here. You're getting tangled in it. And so when you participate in gossip, you get entangled. And it begins to affect your life. It's going to shut down blessings. It's going to shut down because our faith, the only way we can please God is by living by faith. Is that correct? Hebrews 11:6. We have to, by faith. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But faith, according to Galatians 5:6, I believe it is, says that faith works by love. So when we're gossiping, we're not loving. We're not truly loving. We're not truly caring about that situation. We want those choice morsels that the Bible talked about in Proverbs that go down into our heart and satisfy us. God said that. God knew that ahead of time. And when you look at all these verses together, it's like, my word, God has put a lot in his word to show us to stay away from this kind of stuff. Where did it end up? Ricky, don't knit a sweater back there. Throw it back over. So this is what happened. So we're just about done here. I appreciate your patience. What are we to do? What are we to do? 2 Corinthians 10:5. Says, take every thought captive. How many thoughts? Every thought. And do what with them? Cast them down. If they're, oh, almost got you in the head. Psalm 141:3. This is, I quoted this scripture earlier at the very beginning. Set a watch, O Lord, over my mouth. Lord, help me. Help me to set a watch over my mouth. Matthew 7, we already looked at that. Don't judge. 1 Thessalonians 4, we looked at that. Mind your own business. God loves you. We're here as the body of Christ, and we're supposed to be speaking that only that which edifies and builds up one another. There's not a person in this room that's perfect in their soulish realm and in their body. There's not one. So everybody's got something that they struggle with, something that after 40 years, you said 40 years ago, Barb, nobody here would have liked you. We would have said, throw her out back. Throw her over the cliff. Oh, wait a minute. They tried to do that to Jesus. Talked about that all the time. But you've come a ways, haven't you? You bet you have. I look at you, and I look at this couple that humbles themselves daily. They have to do it daily. Because she brings a message like this and doesn't stop smiling. And I say, how do you do that? Because she's learned to maintain a sweet heart and to stay sweet. If there's anything I learned from Barbara Arbo, it's that I have to learn to stay sweet, regardless of the situation. Sometimes my flesh wants to just backhand somebody. But does that help? Oh, no, nobody's ever had that thought before. It's like, ah, oh, just smack them one. I mean, Jesus spoke to Martha kind of sternly. Martha, Martha, you're busy and encumbered about much. And Martha's out in the kitchen. She's gossiping about Mary. Stupid sister, she's not out here helping me, and I'm got to do all the dishes. I got to cook the biscuits, and I got to do all this stuff. And she's out there listening to him, sitting down at his feet. And she was in there gossiping, all fretting and upset. And she really, by coming to Jesus, she expected a different result, a different response, didn't she? She did not expect him to say, Martha, Martha. She expected the slate to be evened up here. You do your share of dishes and you do your share of the cooking and let Jesus just wander out back or something. See the view. No, Jesus cut right to the chase and he said, not going to take away from Mary that which is good, that which is helpful. This today was helpful to you. You might not have received it with all laughter, but it's for your benefit. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, before Jesus. And we're going to give an account of what we did, whether good or bad. Look, your gossip sin has been forgiven by God, but your gossip sin is running rampant in the church. Look what it's doing in the church. It said that it tears apart relationships, doesn't it? And on and on and on, we saw the horrible results and consequences of gossip. So the apple or the grapevine? I stand on the grapevine. You don't have to receive that, and that's not gospel. That's just what I think it could have been. And God thought enough of those luscious grapes in Numbers chapter 13 to record it again. You know? They didn't bring a bushel of apples, did they? Case stands. Why don't you stand with me if you can? Who's going to help me pick up this yarn? Let's just pray. You have a word? You going to hit me?
No.
Brave soul, and she's going to smack me.
This has been so powerful, and the visual is really helpful too, isn't it? When we can see things, that's part of what helps us to have revelation. But you said one thing today that I wanted to just add a little element to, and that is he said we can be gossiping here or talking about somebody here in Chicago, and they're not affected by it, but we are. But I want to tell you that when I was 26 years of age, I was the victim of a lot of gossip. I left a spiritually abusive community. And people talked. Where's she going? What's she doing? She's gotten into heresy. She's got a hold of the Word of God. I mean, you know, she believes she can read the Bible and hear from God for herself. She's somehow, you know, gotten into something she shouldn't have. And I was being set free by the power of God's Word. But even 2,000 miles away, when I moved away from that community, I was still being affected by words. And I was confused, and I was doubtful, and I was, you know, anxious about the decisions I was making. And I went to a spiritually mature woman and said, Billy Adams, who was my spiritual mom, and said, Billy, I don't understand. It's like I wake up every day, and I feel like full of faith and full of God, and then this confusion sets in, and I get worried about the decisions I'm making. Am I making the right decision? And she was praying, and she said the Lord showed her that those words that seemed as jesting to some were as deadly wounds going into the innermost part of the victim's nature. And I was the victim. And she took authority over those words that were going out in the spirit against my decisions and against what I was doing. She just took authority over that and cut off the power of them. And I got set free. And so I think it's important for us to know that not only can we challenge our hearts to make sure we're not being the the releaser of gossip, but that if you've been on the recipient's end, you know, if you've been one that has been talked about, and maybe, like Pastor John said, maybe there was some truth to what they were saying. You know, we've all made mistakes in life where there's some truth to what gets said about us. But if you're being affected by those words, then understand that you have authority in the realm of the Spirit to take authority over those words and say, enough is enough. I've repented before the Lord. I will not be tormented any longer. God, you deal with that. You vindicate. I don't have to go back and say, well, they always say that about me. And they are, you know, no. You know what? Now when I go back to my hometown where it took place, they all look at me and say, wow, Barbara Arbo grew in God. She became a mature woman of God. She went on with God. She has a true message. And they admire me now where, you know, I could have let those words come into my heart and just destroy my life. And none of us has to be the victim because we're a victor in Christ Jesus. So it comes from both sides, and I'll just, you know, because I know where you see. Father, as we just stand before you today and allow the light of your word that has come into our hearts today to penetrate, Father, you said, let there be light, and light came into being. And so, Father, you're still penetrating our hearts with light in this hour. And you said that when we give just a little measure of study to the truth of your word, that you will multiply power and virtue and knowledge back to us. Revelation, Father, so that we can walk in truth and the truth will set us free. So, Father, we thank you that we receive this word as truth today. We know it's true. We know it's true, Father. Even when we don't live it, we know it, that it's true. And so, Father, forgive us. We stand before you today, Father, allowing the light of your word to go into our hearts and go into every crevice of our being. And search, you said, just like David came to you, Father, and he said, search me, Lord. Search my inward part. Search me. You know me. Search me and create a clean heart in me. Renew a right spirit. Father, there were months that had gone by between David's sin and the day that he came to you and said, create in me a clean heart. And sometimes we carry sin in our lives for a long time before we're willing to come and say, God, I'm feeling the repercussions of this. I'm feeling the cursing of these things that have happened in my life. And God, I just want to get right before you. I want things to be clean. I want things to be made new. And Lord, I know if I repent before you that you can create a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. I don't have to go on in life with this dog in my trail. So, Father, thank you that as a church today, we just come clean. Wow, isn't it wonderful? We can come clean.
Hallelujah.
Everybody empty the dope out of their pockets.
Thank
Everybody
you,
empty
Lord.
The baggage out of our pockets. We empty the baggage out of our hearts, God, and we just lay all of our drugs, so to speak, all of our addiction for speaking things and judging and all, we lay that, we just put it in a fire today, Lord.
Yes.
Just like somebody coming in with the addictions for drugs that would take them out of their pocket and just put them at the altar and say, I just give it up.
Thank you, Lord.
I give it up. We give it up today.
Yes.
We just give it up today, Father. We leave it. We let it go.
Thank
we forgive.
You, yes.
And Father, even the very people that we feel like we have every right to talk about because of what they did to us, Father, we relinquish our rights.
Yes.
We relinquish our rights. We choose a higher love walk,
yes.
Father. We choose a higher way.
Amen.
And Father, I thank you that even those that are in here that have become the victims of that, Father, and they didn't even know why they were living with confusion or a concern or a worry or can't make right decisions. They're always locked in. They've had chatter talking. We come against those words right now. We take authority over them in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
And we just sweep this house today.
Yes.
We sweep our
Hallelujah.
Brains. We
thank
sweep
you,
our
Lord.
Bodies, Father God. We
thank
just
you, Lord.
Sweep and we just thank you, Father God, that by the Spirit of God, you let a breath of fresh air
thank you,
not
thank
only
you,
come
Lord.
Into this place, this house, but into our house
yes.
and into our temple
yes.
as a temple, a house of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord.
You said we are a house of prayer, Father. We want our house of prayer to be clean
yes.
and smelling good and fresh and,
thank you,
and
Lord.
Our words to be life-giving and just be like sparkling water, Father, that people thirst to be around us and hear what we have to say. They're thirsty for sparkling, life-giving words. They're not thirsty for any gossip. They're not thirsty to hear us complain. They're not thirsty to hear the negatives. They're thirsty for the truth of your word.
Thank you.
And out of the abundance of our hearts, our mouth will speak. So fill us, Father. Fill us afresh today. Father, as we empty out all the old, fill us with a refreshing in you, Lord God, that just tops us off with the grace of God, the love of God, the power of God, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, we just thank you and receive a word today from our pastor who's speaking the truth that sets us free.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus'
name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Barbara. So go free. We are free. Amen. You are dismissed.